Good afternoon, and welcome to this episode of the AirDrop Podcast. As we continue our spin through the world of college athletics, I am pleased to be joined by the head softball coach at Longwood University, Dr. Megan Brown. Dr. Brown, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. Wouldn't you know that athletics, specifically softball, would be your path?
I think it's just kind of once I started playing, I just always loved it. Like that was, there's not really a crazy answer to it. Just even in the backyard, just love playing. So it's always been something that's been very close to my heart. Something just very grateful for the opportunities and the gifts God's given me and the opportunities provided through it.
When did you start pitching, and when did you kind of get the feel of this would be your position?
I actually didn't start pitching till I was 13, so I was kind of late to the party. I grew up in a small town in Georgia back when softball wasn't really, especially fast pitch softball wasn't a big thing. I played on the first fast pitch team in my county, and I started out as a catcher, and our team needed a pitcher, and I was like, well, I'll try it, here we go. Let's see what happens. And just kind of fell in love with it. The struggles, the joys, the it's just a lot of fun.
In your time on the mound, I'm sure you've had to encounter athletes from other sports who think they could step on or step in a box and hit against fast pitch softball. Can you remember a time or the funniest experience where you saw an athlete from another sport try to step in and they had no clue?
I know a lot of people have those like, oh, the baseball team wanted to come over. We've done some fun things like that. When I played in the pro league, they used to do a raffle. A fan could, step in the box to try to hit off a pitcher in between innings. And it's pretty humorous to see some of it. I think probably the thing I've enjoyed the most as far as the humor aspect is when they say, oh, what position do you play? And you're like, oh, I'm a pitcher. And they say, oh, so you do this. And they do something somewhat resembling a pitching motion, and you're like, no, I don't do that. I'm not really sure what you just did, but no, I don't do that. But I get what you're saying. Yes, that's kind of what we try to do.
Most people who have never played fast pitch don't really quite understand the amount of torque it takes on the shoulder. How long did it take your shoulder to recuperate after the season ended?
Honestly, a big thing for me was the prep and the training. I was a high pitch count, high inning pitcher. Was really blessed to have the opportunity to throw that much, and so I would throw a lot to condition myself to it, which kind of made recovery a little bit easier on my body. Usually, I would take about a week or two off at the end of the season, and then I would just kind of get back into it. So it would take about a week, but usually season's ending and postseason where you're throwing a the weather's hot, you're throwing a high volume towards the end, but usually about 2 weeks to a month at the most. And then we'll just kind of get back into training and building on what we needed for the next year.
What made you choose Florida Southern?
Well, it's kind of a twofold answer. One is it's the only offer I had. So I had one offer and I was like, hey, let's go there. Looking back now, I just see how God had his hand in so many things and so many doors opened and so many places that I was sent. I think it was just the right place for me to go, and it just worked out. It made the decision easy, and so very blessed and grateful to play for Coach Bilotto and just the lessons she taught. And I had amazing women around me as teammates, so it worked out just like it was supposed to.
What was your welcome to college moment being a pitcher? I'm sure that the ball gets hit back at you. Can you remember a time when the ball just came screaming back at you after you let it go?
I mean, I know I had some comebackers in my time. I don't know as far as like the welcome to college. When I played pro ball, I had one come back pretty hot, hit me in the shin, and my thoughts were, first, why did you swing at that pitch? It was about, 6 inches outside and about 6 inches off the ground. And then the second one was, how in the world did you hit it? So kind of more of the why were you swinging and then how did you hit it moment of that.
Playing at Florida Southern, you amassed one of the most distinguished careers of any athlete in school history. When you look back, can you remember your first no-hitter, and can you take us through the final three outs? What was going through your mind?
So actually, I was really really blessed. My first college start was a no hitter. And actually it kind of came, one of the few times I guess my pride helped me. It was actually the second game of our season, and our other pitcher got the first start of the year. And my coach told me, she's like, "You're doing great, but I can't start a freshman over an upperclassman, first game of the year." And she was a very talented pitcher, and she threw a no-hitter. And so in my mind, it was like, well, I'm going to throw a perfect game because I'm not getting outpitched by this other pitcher on our staff. Again, very prideful. I'm not saying this was a great approach and definitely not a very humble one. And so I was like, well, she did it. Doggone it. I'm going to go do the same. And so that was more of the motivation of it. It was more of just a, I want the ball. I want to be the one there. Again, very prideful, but that was where we were.
Now, of your 12 no hitters, do you have the softball from any of those?
I do at home. At my parents' house, I have a few of them. But yeah, they were, the thing about throwing no hitters is it sounds like, oh, it's a pitcher thing, but none of them were 21 strikeouts. And so I had some really great teammates around me that, would just go do stuff. I remember a ball went over the top of second base. I don't think it was a no hitter, but it was a tight game. And I told our shortstop, like, hey, that was a great play. And her response was, I'm not letting that go through for a hit. And just, when you have that around you, you can't really ask for more.
You also were able to play overseas. What was the major difference between American fast pitch and international?
What's really amazing about sports internationally is there's such a culture of sport in different countries. And that was, to me, the most amazing thing, because as every country has its own unique culture that is fun to see and learn about and be a part of, it's exhibited really profoundly in their sports. And I can remember playing in games where coaches would get so passionate and players would get so much more passionate about the game than you would all sometimes see in the US, or the atmosphere in the, they would literally be drumming in the dugout and you're pitching during this, which is something you would not see in an American sport. But I remember just thinking, I can either embrace this atmosphere or kind of run from it. And I was like, this is such a cool place and way to play, that to me, that was just such an interesting thing of getting to know the people that I was getting to play with and against.
When did you know it was time to hang up the spikes?
It just was kind of a really nice transition. It just, as I was finishing up my PhD and just kind of praying about job decisions and next playing opportunities, it just kind of flowed really nice. I had an opportunity to move from Division II to Division I, as an assistant coach, and just kind of the job opportunities just naturally kind of flowed, into coaching and not full-time playing. So it's just kind of a natural progression for me, which was really kind of nice.
How long would it take you to get back in game shape to be able to make a start?
Now? Oh goodness, I don't know if that's even humanly possible anymore. I mean, my ego is like, oh, give me a month. The real reality is like, give me 2 years. So
What is one aspect of being on the mound that you miss most?
I think this is the competitiveness. To me, the mound was so, it was a place of quiet solitude. As crazy as it sounds, it's very peaceful out there to me. And just, I love the strategy. I love the gamemanship. It was a very calm and quiet place to me. And that's just it's just something I really enjoyed.
When we come back from break, I want to talk about your journey at Longwood and where you see the team going, not just this year, but in the future. That's after a quick timeout. You're listening to the AdDrop podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with AdDrop podcast. Terrence Biggs, Dr. Megan Brown, head softball coach at Longwood University. Dr. Brown, two-part question. When you accepted the job at Longwood, what was the first thing you wanted to accomplish as far as establishing a culture and how to celebrate?
The celebration was probably more of in the back. I was at my parents' house. I moved from California and was heading back east, and I was actually at my parents' house, who live in the very rural part of Georgia. So I had to go in the backyard to actually take the phone call from Director Meadows. So it's not a very glorious place to do it, but I remember wandering around our backyard trying to stay in the open area so I could get cell phone reception. And I remember being very excited. And then it's like, okay, I need to move tomorrow. So it was very short-lived of the celebration. I think my parents may have cooked a good meal, but was more just like, all right, let's get to work. Because it was getting near the start of school, so it was time to kind of get moving. The big thing for me when I came in was, I had the opportunity to take over for a legendary coach and a program that had such an amazing storied history. And so to me, the big thing was I want to get to know our players, get to know their stories. What was your Longwood story? How did you come to Longwood, and kind of where you were and what you wanted to do? We were coming off the COVID shutdown, so it was a lot of moving parts. So just kind of assuring them, like, we're gonna, you're gonna be okay, you're gonna be safe. And then just continuing to build on a really great foundation of the program, and just how can we continue the legacy of Longwood softball?
Your first game as head coach, do you remember what the first few minutes like? Were there nerves? Were there like, I've been around the game forever, this is fine? Or was it a kind of mix of both?
Little mix of both. I will say, our first tournament that we were scheduled to go to was going to be at NC State, and due to rain and an ice storm here, we actually didn't get even leave campus. With the tournament got completely rained out, and so we head to Georgia, and that's our first game. And so they were a top 25 program, and still are. But the thing was funny is in the fall, because of the COVID and restrictions and stuff, we didn't play a fall game. And at the time, I was like, oh, this is great. We'll have time to really focus on our team and get ready to go. And then when we were rolling into our first game, I was kind of thinking, I wish we had played a game or two maybe by now, as a head coach. But so it's a little mix of nerves. I will say the kind of humor of the day was, of all the things I had thought that game would be, no hit and run rule wasn't on the list of things I thought might happen to us. And so by the time we finished it, I wasn't quite sure what to say to the team afterwards, because I hadn't practiced that post game speech. And so we went out, pretty much made something up on the fly. But to our team's credit and those young women, they came back the next day and beat Georgia, which was our first win at that time, in that season. And so it was kind of a very big switch and swing of events. And I will say that was a very prayerful 12 hours between the two. I was kind of waiting for the call from the AD of, yeah, you're fired. But this was fun, but you're fired. Thankfully, that didn't come, and we've been able to stay with the program. But definitely two extremes in about 16 hours right there.
Being, what was it like being your home state team?
I mean, it was just an amazing opportunity. It was fun to get to play in a stadium and against a team I grew up watching. But I mean, I coached in the SEC, so it was kind of neat to get back to an SEC school. But just grateful that, the fighting spirit of our young women.
It's more challenging to coach. You have, say, you have two pitchers. Equal as far as frame, but one has phenomenal pinpoint accuracy, the other has phenomenal stuff. Which is more difficult to be able to coach?
Honestly, every pitcher's their own unique person. And honestly, it's finding kind of how do you get them to get it, whatever the it you need them to get is, and then helping them learn not just their best stuff, but the best use of their stuff. So it's not so much the skill set that can sometimes be hard to coach. It's more of finding out how they work, what makes them tick, and really supporting them in that. When I was hired by Great Britain as their pitching coach, they didn't ask me to coach their pitchers. They said, "Will you come support our pitchers?" And I love the way they phrased that, because to me that was really the role of a pitching coach is, are you going to come support our pitchers and what they need? And have always kind of taken that to heart as I've gone through.
You're out recruiting. Every coach wants, of course, like the strength, the speed, all of the measurables. What intangible must a player possess to be able to suit up for you?
I think a lot of it is they've got to be approach the game aggressively. We're really blessed that we play a tough schedule and we play some really good teams. And if you don't attack the game and have a grit about you and just, some stick with itness, I don't know if that's even a word, but you have to just be willing to step up and accept the challenge and compete. And then, you got to be a good human and a good person. A lot of it for us is fit. There's been some amazing athletic young women that we just saw, no, that's just not a fit for our team. And they're great people, but it's just not the right fit. And that's a huge piece for us is the fit for our team and our culture.
What makes the Big South such a tough conference to navigate?
Everybody's good. Everybody brings their best game. You're not going to really catch somebody on an off day. They're going to always bring their best at you, and that just makes for a lot of kind of blow for blow. You end some series and you're like, I'm not really sure if we won or lost based on how I feel. I just feel like we got beat up for three games. So I think that it just mistakes are you pay for them dearly.
How do you help a player out of a slump?
A lot of just meeting them where they are, helping them kind of dispel the doubts, the lies, and the fears that accompany that. We talk a lot about there's three types of information that you'll get. Some that's false and unhelpful. So, it's not true and it's not helpful. Information that's, true but unhelpful. And then information that is true and helpful. And just kind of navigating through those pieces of information of how do you kind of take captive the thoughts of your mind and stay focused. If there's mechanical stuff, working through that, and helping them. Slumps don't just miraculously go away. You have to work through them, but helping them walk that process and realize that usually slumps are really more of growth. It's kind of the pruning before the growth. And it's hard to view it that way, but, and everybody wants like, oh, I just need one good at bat and I'll be out of it. Or I just need one good inning, and I'll be out of it. And it's, that works really great on Disney. It's just not really practical in the real world.
If you were standing in front of every ninth grade softball player in the United States and you wanted to deliver them one message about not just the game itself, but what to expect the game from the game and what to give to the game, what would you say?
You've got to go deep inside of you and find the best of you and put it out every day, because there's a level that everybody has inside of them that most people won't ever go get, because it's not fun, it's not easy, and it hurts physically, mentally, emotionally. It hurts to dig it out, but if you'll go in there and dig it out of you, you'll do some things that you'll turn around and go, wow, I really never thought I could get here. But it's not fun and it's not easy.
Kind of take a moment back to reflect of you've had several different careers as a pitcher, as pitcher in college, international, as assistant coach, getting your PhD, and now a head coach. Kind of look back and say, wow, this has been quite the trip so far.
It has a lot of blessings, a lot of amazing opportunities. God's just been so good and so faithful to so many things in my life. I'm nowhere without him, so I know that for an absolute fact. But just blessed is honestly the only way. So undeserving and so grateful and so blessed.
When you're not recruiting or in the office or on the field? How do you get away from the game?
I have an amazing family that I spend time with. I have some really close friends that I value. I love to travel. That is a passion of mine. I love to go places and see things and just enjoy being out and about, spending time with my family. I am an aunt to two nieces, a nephew, and a nephew that will be here any day now. And so being Aunt Megan is one of my favorite roles. As they have me epically wrapped around their little fingers.
During your travels, what was the most memorable meal you've had?
Oh goodness. One of the best ones we had, and it spoiled me forever on carbonara at Italian restaurants. My first year in Italy, we won the European Cup, and the next day, these dear women that were associated with our team made homemade carbonara as a celebration meal. And I don't really even know how to properly describe how amazing that was. I just know that when I came back to the States, I went to an Italian restaurant and was like, oh, I'm gonna order this. Oh, it was epically disappointing. And so I vowed to, I just won't order it ever again. I was like, I'm sorry, I've been ruined for life. I don't really know how to do anything about it. I've just been ruined for life on that. So,
Outside of playing softball, what other sports have captured your fandom? Like you're just a diehard fan of blank.
I love to watch college football in the fall. I love women's college basketball. I have some good friends that coach it and have enjoyed getting to see the game through them. And honestly, just anybody that does sports at a high level. I just am fascinated, regardless of the sport, of people who just do things that no one else is able to do. And the elite level of things is just fascinating to me. And not just within sports, within, music and singing and just so many things. To me, high level is just so intriguing.
You're a road trip. You can have one CD to play over and over. It has to be one CD. What would it be?
Oh my goodness. I think the only album I actually have on my phone, and my phone never gets put on the aux, by the way, at our field, but I have a CeCe Wynes CD and it our album on my phone that is just epically amazing. So that would probably be one of the top ones.
Now, you said you were a fan of college football. Does this make you a Georgia fan?
Well, see, this is where I get torn in my life because I am born and raised in Georgia, but my PhD is from Auburn, so that's like a internal strife rivalry right there. So, a lot of it is just I watch the best game of the week. I just like the competitive. The strategy of the game is intriguing to me. The that part, I'm a great offensive coordinator in my recliner. I will say that, but not very. Nowhere close when it comes to the game. I appreciate the scrutiny that those gentlemen endure on a regular basis.
The internal Georgia Auburn conflict, there should be one thing you have in common. They both despise Alabama.
There is that piece. We had a strength coach here a little bit ago that was had graduated from Alabama, and our joke was one day a year we just don't speak. We don't hold it against each other. There's just certain things we don't speak about.
Now, speaking of Alabama, last question. Do you think that Alabama will finally put all the pieces together in football and just kind of be able to catch up to Bama, or is it going to be a longer process?
For Auburn or Alabama?
Auburn.
I hope so. They need to figure their lives out over there in football, which I know they're working on it, and I know there's so many moving parts, but yeah, I mean they'll get it together. They'll get it sorted out. It's the thing is it looks so easy to win at anything, and yet when you get into the minutiae of the day in and the day out, it's so hard to win. It's so hard.
The head softball coach at Longhorn University, Dr. Megan Brown. Dr. Brown, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the AirDrop Podcast.
Thank you for having me.